Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11. The Bible says, I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise or wealth to the brilliant. Yeah, you know, that part of the verse always sticks out. Not wealth to the brilliant or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. Amen. So the determinants, you see, when you read this verse, and it's a very beautiful verse that's on the screen right now. When you read this verse, it's showing us that what is going to determine our ability or the certain events in our life are not by the things that we think. Yeah, if you read the verse again, it says that the race of life, right, is not to the person that's moving the fastest. Yeah, so maybe you are thinking, or you can think of people that you know. Maybe you know someone who's graduated college at 22, and you're 23 or 24, and you're in school, you want to graduate, and it feels like maybe you're behind. But I've come here to tell you today that, you know, what is going to determine your success is not the age at which you finish school. Because the Bible is saying that the race is not to the swift. Yeah, the person that gets married when they're 22 or 23 versus the person who gets married when they're 30 hasn't won something. Yeah, the Bible is saying that what? Once again, it's saying that the race is not to the swift. And then it says, or is the battle to the strong? How many of us feel like we are in a battle? If you can give me a raise sometimes. Sometimes you feel like life can feel like it's a battle. Maybe you're battling your flesh. Or maybe you feel like you're battling your parents, unfortunately. Or maybe you feel like you're battling a certain professor at school. It's like the professor keeps trying to challenge you. Like you study, go take the exam, you get a 79 or 72. And it's like the amount of effort you put into study, you don't think you deserve a 72. So you see, as life presents many battles, sometimes we think that what we need to win a battle is strength. But the verse is saying here that nor is the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise. Yeah, like you're not able to get what you need. Food, when you see food in the verse, think of it as getting what you need. So getting the things you need in life doesn't come necessarily to those who are just wise. Nor does wealth come to the brilliant. It's not just by intelligence that you become wealthy. Yeah. Or favor to the learned. Favor doesn't come to just people who go to school. I was recently listening to a message by a prophet, and he was saying, in life, you only are going to get promoted through examinations up until a point. Yeah, and that's something I've realized. Yeah, like once you have finished school, what is going to get you a promotion is not your ability to pass an exam. It's favor. It really is just, you can apply for a job. You and the other person have the same qualifications, but they are choosing them because of maybe some small detail. And it's favor. The small detail isn't really what's on the paper. It's a spiritual aspect. The Bible says that we fight a spiritual battle. So it's the spiritual aspect, is the lack of favor is why you're not being chosen. Some of us, it's like we are seeing that we're not being chosen for something. You want to go to school, you want to go to a certain school, you want a certain job, you want a certain this, a certain, and it's like you're not being chosen. Yeah. Pray for favor. When you see in life that you're having a hard time being chosen for things, you should begin to pray for favor. And it says that a favor to the learned, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Amen. Yeah. So we're going to begin studying, you know, the determinants. And in Prophet's book, The Determinants, he gives us six different things that are determinants of life, like six areas, six words. And I want each of us to write these words down. So if you're taking your notes, you can write them down. So the first thing that is going to determine your life is speed. Yeah, speed is going to determine your life. Determine the outcome of your life is speed. The second thing is strength. The third thing is wisdom, right? Third thing is wisdom. The fourth determinant is understanding. Yeah, understanding. The fifth determinant is skill. And then the last determinant is time. So we're going to spend several weeks studying the different determinants, right? And what I'm praying for and what I'm hoping for is at the end of the time we spend studying this book, we will have a much deeper understanding on the determinants, on how we can avoid certain pitfalls in our life based off of this book. Yeah, one of the problems with many young people, since we're all young, one of the problems with many young people is that sometimes it's like, because we don't have the experience, we just continue to make mistakes. But you see, I remember I would always have this conversation with my pastor, and I think I've told you guys this before. We would always have this debate of, in life, do you have to learn from other people's experiences? In life, do you have to make your own experiences? Yeah, like in life, you have to make your own mistakes. So, you know, there are some people who feel like in life, you learn from your mistake. So you make a mistake and then you learn from the mistake you made. My pastor was of the opinion of that in life, you don't have to make a mistake to learn from it. You can watch somebody else's mistake, see how it affected them, and also know, I don't want to do this. Yeah, and I always felt like it was a challenge to do that because you don't know firsthand. Yeah, but as time has gone on, I've come to realize that you can see somebody else's mistakes and say that, you know what, this thing, I don't want to go for it. That this mistake this person has made, I don't want to go for it. Yeah, some of you, you're living at home right now with your parents and you are seeing your parents' marriage. And there's some good things and there's some bad things that you get to see in the marriage. And you get to see what you don't want in your future marriage. It's like, you shouldn't go and get the same thing because you can see someone else's mistake and you can learn from it. Yeah, some of you may know some friends who maybe didn't go to school or maybe they made some mistakes early on in life. You see, you can also learn from those things. Or maybe you know someone, you know, I met someone this week. I was talking to them about our church and I asked them about what their major is. And they told me that, right now they're undecided. And as the conversation kept on and we were going, I realized that the person told me a couple minutes ago that he's undecided. But then when I asked him, how old is he? He said he's 22. So I said, are you a senior? He said, yeah. And I was like, wow. So he's been undecided for almost 4 years, just changing his major. See, that's a mistake that you can learn from. Yeah, because it's a mistake to continue to stay undecided. Yeah, there's no problem with starting college undecided. The mistake is when you stay undecided. Amen. What are the determinants? And we're going to go through a deep dive of the different determinants that affect our lives. And, you know, this topic is actually one that I always find it difficult to speak about at a certain level, you see, because I feel like I am only 25. So I feel like maybe I even need more life experience to really speak about this topic at a certain level. You see, but as I was reading the book and as I was preparing, I was praying and I was realizing that, you know, I can also preach it at my level with my life experience. Because you see, there's some people who may be preaching it and their life experience it may be too high. Like if you're preaching this message and you're in your 40s, what you've seen cannot relate to a group of college students. But someone who is maybe closer in age, They can say something that relates more. They can say something that will impact you more. So I'm hoping that today's message, you know, it'll encourage you along that line. So the first determinant is speed, right? And what will speed determine in your life, right? What will speed determine in your life? Speed determines many things in our lives. I just want us to be aware of this. Speed will determine who you will marry. Yeah, speed will determine who you will marry. I think last week I gave the example that there's some girls you meet. It's like every guy that wants to talk to them, they curve, move him to the side. Every guy. Yeah, it's a type of speed. Yeah, the speed at which you meet someone that you like will determine who you will marry. Some people settle because they were not fast at a certain age in their life. I pray that you'll be fast. Speed will determine your income. Yeah, your income, your quickness or your ability to, you know, get a job. Your quickness or ability to go to school and to finish will determine your income. Yeah. Speed will determine your lifestyle. Speed will even determine you becoming a good Christian. Yeah. Some people, because you have taken a decision, and I believe all of us who are at church today have decided that we will be Christians as young people. Because you have taken a decision to become a Christian at 22 or 21 or 19 or 18 even for that matter, right? Because you've decided to become a Christian at 18. You know, I took a decision to become a Christian when I was 18 years old. It was when I decided to become a serious Christian at 18, right? And now at 25, I'm preaching. So when you decide to take a decision to become a Christian at a young age, it determines the outcome of your life. The faster you decide that you want to serve God, or the faster you decide that you want to take God serious. Yeah, if you had waited until you were 35, some mistakes you would have made simply because you were not trying to become close to God. You may feel bad now, or you may feel like you're not a good Christian now, or you may feel like you're a baby Christian because you don't pray every day. But you see, simply by the fact that you are trying now and make some mistakes, there's some mistakes you won't make simply for the fact that you are in church right now and that you are trying to become a good Christian. You may not be perfect. You may not even be successful today. But the fact that you are trying is going to keep you away from making certain mistakes. Amen. If we can turn our Bibles to Genesis 27, verse 1. Speed is going to determine your ability to also be blessed. Yes, yeah, speed determines your ability to be blessed. Genesis 27 and verse 1. The Bible says, when Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see. So Isaac was one of Abraham's sons in the Bible. For those of you who know who Abraham is, Isaac was one of Abraham's sons in the Bible. And the Bible is saying that when Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son, here I am," he answered. Verse 2, please. Oh. Yes. Isaac said, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your equipment, you quiver and bow, and go out into the open country and hunt some wild game for me." Verse 4, please. "Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Amen. Now, for those of you who know the story, Isaac had a younger son who Isaac's wife heard this conversation between Isaac and the older son Esau, and went and told the younger son that your father is about to die and give out a blessing. So quickly go and make his favorite food for him, come back and let me give it to him so that you, the younger one, will receive the blessing. Yeah, so you see, the speed at which you begin to tithe will affect your blessing. The speed at which you begin to want to serve God, the speed at which you decide. Recently, I had someone, she's actually in church right now. I had someone ask me recently over the phone, do I think they can become a center leader? You see, the fact that she's even thinking of that question, or the fact that she's even thinking that she can become one, but she's not certain, it shows her speed. Like, quickly, she'll become a center leader. Very quick. Within the next 2 years, she'll be a center leader because she has that question already in her mind. So you see, the fact that she wants to become a center leader shows her speed. It shows how quickly she's thinking of it. And I want to encourage us that in life, the things we need to do, we must do them fast. If it is school, you must go to school while you are young. I want to say that again. If it is school, I'm not saying you can't go to school when you're older. You can always go to school when you're older. Never think that you can't go to school again, but you can. But there's a time in life for going to school, and there's a time in life for making money. When you switch the two, it's very difficult to go back. Yeah, there's a time in life to go to school, and there's a time in life to focus on making money. And if you switch the two and you focus on money when you should be focusing on the school, you can go back, but it's not the same. So if it's school, we should do it fast. If it's church, be in the church fast. Yeah, come quickly into the church and believe things and want to serve God quickly. Yeah, and it's only for you to be blessed. Amen. So that's the first determinant to speed. Today, I'm just giving like a taste of all the determinants. And then over the course of the next several weeks, you know, we'll do a much deeper dive into the determinants. And I'll even show you, like, next week, we may talk about speed, for example, in a deeper dive. And I'll even show you how you can practically improve your speed. Because some of us, it's like, we know we need to move fast, but we don't know how. Yeah, we don't know how to move fast. We don't know how to jump. We don't know how to make the next step. And I'll practically show you next week how to improve your speed. So don't miss next week's message. Strength. Yeah, strength is the next determinant. How hard are you? How tough are you? How much can you handle? Many of us, any small sense of frustration, any small sense of sadness, any small sense of, you know, emotional instability, it's like we're finished. Like we've given up the race, we're done. But you must be tough. You must be able to bounce back with speed. See, and one of the things about the determinants is that all these things work together for good. The Bible says that all things work together for good for them that love the Lord. All these things have a part to play. When you mix the speed with the strength, there'll be times that you're moving fast and you make a mistake. Or you're moving fast and you bump and you fall down. And you have to pick yourself back up. You have to use your strength now. You have to apply the strength. Joshua 1 verse 9, please. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Amen. Yeah, do not be afraid. Be strong. Be strong. I want to encourage us to be strong. You know, young women, young men, be strong, right? Be strong that God can help you. Be strong that God will help you to finish your course. God will help you to finish your work. Like God will help you that if you've decided to become a church worker, if you've decided to become a center leader, pray that God will help you to finish. Each of us has something that we need to finish. Yeah, everybody has something that we need to. I need to finish my work, right? In First Love, Delaware. I pray that God will help me to finish my work. If you are a center leader, if you are a shepherd, God is helping you to finish that. You have to be finishing that. You have to finish that. I want to encourage us to be strong there. The next determinant for our lives is wisdom. Yeah, Proverbs 4, verse 7. This is one of my favorite ones is wisdom. Wisdom, your wisdom. The Bible says that wisdom is justified by her fruits. Like your wisdom is justified by your fruit. What you do determines your wisdom. Everyone has their own wisdom. Some people have a wisdom that they don't believe in taking debts. So they don't take debts on anything. They don't take debts for school. They don't take debts for cars. They don't take debts for houses. Some people, their wisdom is, I refuse to accept any form of loan. And you see, their wisdom is justified by their fruit. Yeah, those who take a lot of debts for school, debts for cars. I mean, everything is debt. I know people who one day maybe buy furniture. The whole thing is on credit. The entire thing is monthly payments. Yeah, like it's a sign of your wisdom. Yeah. Let me just say this one, by the way, that for those of you maybe who are not so sure about that, you know, one of the challenges when it comes to managing a lot of debt is it always restricts your ability to have a lot of money. Yeah, the key to having a lot of money is to have less money going out. But when you have a lot of payments, a lot of things going out, it's hard to really keep a lot of money with you. It's hard to just hold on to the money. By the time you finish sending all your money out, and by the time you finish paying for this, you have very little left. And you see, that's why I'm always encouraging us to pay our tithes. Because you see, the Bible says that when you pay your tithes, God will rebuke the devourer over your life. A devourer is anything that comes and takes your money. Yeah, anything that continues to come and takes your money, God will rebuke it for you when you pay your tithes. So that one is just by the way, but wisdom is the third determinant. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom through it, though it costs all you have, get understanding. Yeah, get wisdom. Right. And in the next verse, verse eight, please. It says, like, cherish her and she will exalt you. Cherish wisdom. Like, we should have a desire. We should pray to become wise people. Yeah, pray to become somebody who's filled with wisdom. Pray to make wise decisions about your school, wise decisions about your career, wise decisions about your friendships, wise decisions about even the people you choose to be in relationships with. Yeah, there's some relationships that you shouldn't even entertain. There's some guys that you shouldn't even entertain. Like when they come and they try and talk to you, if you are praying for wisdom, it's like you won't even entertain him. Yeah, like you won't even pay him mind long. But the unfortunate truth is that a lot of ladies lack that wisdom. So they come and they spend a lot of time entertaining boys who would just drain you. And it goes for the guys too. Yeah, you'd spend a lot of time entertaining girls who would just drain you. Drain you for your money, drain you for your time, drain you for your energy. I mean, by the time you are finished, you're left with nothing. Yeah. So I want you to pray to become wise people, right? Pray to become wise people about everything and every aspect of your life. Cherish her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will honor you. Wow. Yeah. This verse is describing wisdom as a person, as a woman. And it's saying, embrace wisdom, embrace her, and she will honor you. Wisdom will honor you when you embrace her. Everything I'm saying right now, what I just said a few moments ago about tithe paying and about tithe rebuking the devourer, it's wisdom. If you choose to embrace it, it will honor you because you will truly have the devourer rebuked in your life. Wisdom determines your works. Wisdom also determines your works. Mark chapter 6 and verse 2. Yeah, wisdom also determines your works. Your works are determined by your wisdom. Mark 6, verse 2, when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man go get these things, they asked. What's the wisdom that has been given him? What is the wisdom, right? The wisdom that has been given him. Some pastors, when I listen to our prophet preach, it's like, wow, this is someone filled with wisdom. Yeah, what are the remarkable miracles he is performing? There's some people you hear them preach, some people you hear them speak. Maybe they're not even preaching. They're just teaching. They're just having a conversation. But you can feel the wisdom coming from them. And you can be a young person and be filled with wisdom. When I tell you a few moments ago, when I tell you something like the key to having more money with you is to have less money going out. You know, it sounds like basic math, but a lot of people, unfortunately, are not getting it. Yeah, it sounds like it's basic math, right? To have more, you subtract less. But most people are sending more out to them than they can keep. So the key is truly, truly to avoid having less payments, avoid having less debt. Yeah, it's actually one of the blessed teachings of our church. You see, in our church, they teach us and they encourage us to avoid debt. In our church, they teach us and encourage us to avoid having a lot of student loans, having a lot of debt. It's a blessing that we're taught that as young people. Yeah, because many of the people before us, many of our parents, they didn't get taught that. Or they got taught it, but they didn't believe it. If we could go back to Proverbs 4, verse 8. Yeah, many of our parents, they got taught it. But it was because they couldn't believe it. It's why they experienced certain things. It's why they struggled through certain things. Proverbs 4, verse 8. Proverbs 4, verse 8. Yeah, it says that, what? It says wisdom. It's talking about wisdom. It says, embrace her and she will honor you. Embrace when someone is telling you to avoid debt. Embrace it. You know, our prophet, Bishop Dagher Mills, he preached a camp in America in 2001 called What Is Your Life? It was actually 2 weeks after 9-11. Yeah, actually 2 weeks after 9-11, he preached a camp called What Is Your Life? And in the camp, he actually went through and told all of the young pastors, all of the young people who were young at that time, you know, avoid mortgages. That was what he was saying, was avoid mortgages, avoid debt. That was what he was trying to encourage them with. A lot of them, right after the camp, went and got mortgages, went and got debt, went and got into a lot of debt. And they actually came back years later and told Prophet and told Bishop that, you know, we didn't listen to you. Like, you told us to do something and we couldn't receive it. And it's unfortunate because they realized later on it was a mistake. Like, they should have heard, but they couldn't hear. They couldn't embrace it. Some people in the room embraced it. Some people couldn't. Everything I'm saying now about debt, some people on the line today, there's 8 or 9 of us here, at least on my Zoom right now. Some of us are embracing it. Some of us will listen to it. Some of us will believe the wisdom and they will say that I don't want any debt at all. I don't want any debt at all. Some of us will believe it. Others, it's like it goes in one ear and not the other. And so that's what the Bible says that. That's what the Bible says that some people, their heart is like a stony ground. When the word comes, it springs right out. Because of your heart, it's like as I'm preaching, as I'm teaching you something, it's like it can't get inside of you. You won't fully accept it. That's why, you know, one of the things you should do when you're coming to church on Sunday is pray for your heart. Don't just come to church out of routine, but pray for your heart. Pray that your heart will be a fertile ground ready to receive the word. You know, we don't have time to go through that today, but if you have time, read Mark chapter 4. Yeah, when you get the opportunity, read Mark chapter 4. It talks about the different type of hearts. The different type of hearts you can have when you're, I just felt the need to say that. When you're coming to church, you can have different type of hearts. And depending on the type of heart that you have will determine on your ability to receive the word. Yeah. So since we're out of time already, the next understanding or the next determinant is understanding. Your understanding is another form of a determinant in your life. Yeah, your understanding. Understanding is very different from knowledge, right? People without, I'm reading directly from the book now. People without understanding are different from people with knowledge, right? People without understanding are stubborn and difficult to relate with. How many of us sometimes, it's like you're speaking to someone, maybe even your parents. You know, a lot of times, I remember I used to always tell my parents that I feel like you just don't understand me. I used to always tell my parents that. How many of us sometimes feel like our parents just don't understand us? Like, give me a hand raise if you feel like sometimes your parents don't understand. The reason you may feel like your parents don't understand you is because unfortunately, sometimes maybe they don't. You see, they don't understand you, or you feel like they don't understand you. And they can be, and it's very difficult to relate with someone who doesn't understand you. Yeah, so pray for understanding, right? Pray that you become someone who understands things, right? It's different than having wisdom to be someone who understands, right? So what happens to people who lack understanding? 1 Kings 3:9. 1 Kings 3:9. So one of the things that can happen to you when you are someone who lacks understanding is a lack of understanding makes you unable to occupy important positions. Yeah, it makes you unable to occupy important positions. I remember some time ago, I got asked a question from some people, you know, how come every time we have a message, how come every time we have a center message or we have a Sunday preaching, why do all the First Love churches all preach the same message? Why do we all stay on the same line? And you see, when you question things, or when I explain it to you and you have a hard time understanding something like that, it makes you difficult to ever rise and become a center leader. Yeah, you can't ever lead a Bible study, or you can't ever lead a center, you can't ever lead a church if you don't understand why all the First Love churches preach the same message. That simple thing, if you can't understand it, you will never go high. You will never occupy an important position like being the leader of a center. It's impossible because you have to have that basic understanding. 1 Kings 3:9, the Bible says, so give your servant a discerning heart. Wow. Give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? Yeah, pray for a heart, right? If you read this verse in another version, it says, give your people an understanding heart. Anyone who wants to be a leader, he has to be someone who's understanding. Yeah, anyone who wants to lead someone has to be an understanding person. You see, that's why the Bible says that it says that husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church. You know, ladies, I should say this again for you. When you are picking a man to be your head, he has to be someone who's also understanding. Because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 that husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. And how does Christ love the church? Is Christ not understanding of us and our flaws and our mistakes and the repeated flaws, the repeated mistakes when you pray and you tell God, I won't do it again, I won't do it again. And then you do it 5 more times and he continues to understand you. Yeah. So ladies, when you're picking someone to now come and be your leader, pray that he's understanding. Yeah. See if he has an understanding heart. It will determine a lot for you. The fifth one, as we quickly move, is skill, right? Your skill will determine if you will be called or chosen. Your skill level. Yeah. What type of skill do you have? And all of these things, we'll go deeper into them in the coming weeks. Today is just an introduction. But your skill will determine if you will be called or chosen. Your skills in life. That's why it's very important to, you know, in the work field, they teach you some skills. Or when you're in college, you learn some skills to use at work. And you get paid for those skills. Some people have even taught themselves skills, like maybe photography. Maybe you've taught yourself the ability to make art. You've taught yourself different abilities. Those skills that you've taught yourself generate for you an income. Yeah, so your skill in church can generate for you an income. Your ability to preach. And that's why I said earlier that, you know, all things work together for good, right? Because you can't just have the skill if you don't have the strength, right? If you don't have the speed. If you don't have the understanding and the wisdom, all of them have to work together. Amen. And then lastly, the last determinant is time. Is your time. The time that you have. Yeah, time. Some of us, you know, as we get older, you see that life is moving fast. Life is already moving fast for you. You may be 21 today and you're like, wow, I was just 16. It's moving fast. Next thing you know, you'll look up and be 25. What you do between now and 25 will determine the rest of your life. Yeah, time is moving. Things are moving. John, if we can turn our Bibles to John chapter 2, verse 1, please. John chapter 2 and verse 1. John 2 and verse 1. It says that on the third day of a wedding, so this is a story. It says that on the third day of a wedding, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. Verse 3. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My hour has not come yet." And then verse 5. His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." If we go back to verse 4, please. Yeah, so Jesus responded to his mother by saying, "My hour has not come yet." My hour has not yet come. Like there's a time in your life to do certain things, you see, and this point is one that I personally think about a lot, because the time at which you do a lot of things determines everything. The time that you have a child determines a lot of things for your life. You'd be very surprised when you have a child and how it determines the course of your life, or the timing of your life, or the struggles that you have when you choose to do that. The time at which you go to school will determine the course of your life. Yeah. The time at which you choose to get married, the time at which you choose to become a strong Christian, all of these things play an impact and will determine the outcome and course of your life. Yeah, so I want to encourage us to, you know, to be involved in the studying of these topics over the course of the next 6 weeks. Yeah, I really want to encourage everyone, you know, come back again next week and come back again the following week and invite someone to church. I really think we'll be blessed as younger people with this message over the course of the next 6 weeks. So the six determinants, right, for those of you who have been taking notes. Number one, speed. Number two is strength. Number three is wisdom. Number four is understanding. Number five is skill. And number six is time. So we'll be studying these things over the course of the next several weeks. If you would like a copy of the book, you know, I want to say this, if you would like a copy of the book, message me privately and let me know, and we can find a way to make that happen for you. But I think it's important that we're all involved with this study over the course of the next several weeks, and I believe we'll be blessed. Amen. So at this time, let's just have a quick word of prayer as we close. So just pray for yourself, pray for your heart. You know, that point I made about your heart, pray for your heart that you'll have a heart which can receive what's going to come over the next month and a half. Pray that you'll have an understanding heart, a fertile heart, that when I speak or when you hear something in the message, you'll be understanding and be able to receive it. Father, I pray for our hearts. Lord, help us, oh God, that as we study your word over the next several weeks, help us, Lord, to become understanding. Help us, Lord, to go deeper. Help us, Lord, to become people with a fertile heart. Lord, help us not just to become hearers of your word, but also help us to become doers, Lord. Help us to become people who understand and can accept what you're trying to get us to see. Open our eyes, oh God. Open our ears, oh God. May we become people who are living lives led by these determinants, who are wise, oh God, who are understanding, who are skillful, who are living time-bound lives, God, who understand the powerful effects of time, God, who are people who are living lives with a certain level of speed in taking decisions, God. Help us, oh God, to also be strong. Help us, Lord, to be strong, God, as we are moving through life, as we get knocked down, as we are having challenges, as we don't know maybe what to do next. I pray for anyone, God, who's having a difficult time knowing what to do next. Maybe you feel like your life right now is just in a standstill, or you feel like maybe you're not moving forward into the next phase, or you see some people moving forward and you feel like you're behind. I pray for anyone with such feelings or such thoughts, God, that you will help their hearts, oh God, help them to be encouraged. Help them, God, give them a path, give them something to do next. Give them a next step. Give them open a door for their lives, oh God. Open a next door for their life. Help them to find something they are passionate about, something they are excited to do next. Give them some energy, some zeal. May we not just find ourselves going through life day by day, God. May we become people who can find something we are passionate about, God. Open a door of passion over our lives. Lord, I thank you for what you are doing for us. I thank you, Lord, for where you are going to take us. Lord, I know, God, your word says that you have plans for hope and plans for a future for us. God, the life you have planned for us is not an average life. It's not a life of just day-to-day life, of day-to-day averageness. God, you said that, your Lord, your word says that you have plans of hope and plans of a future for us. Lord, I pray, God, that you will give us that hope and that you will fulfill the plans of a future for us in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray and we give thanks. Amen. Amen. So at this time, I want to encourage us.